Ready to get started for the word at Streams today. I'm going to start by praying if everybody's okay with that. So Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word, God. We thank you that within this text, God, you speak to us, God. You guide us, you lead us, you direct our steps, Father. You train us, you discipline us, and you correct us, God. Father, we thank you that you have provided the word, God, for us to continue to grow into the fullness of the body of Christ that will go and accomplish your will on this planet, Father. So we release your word today, God, to find fertile soil in our hearts, to take up root, God, and to blossom and produce fruit in our lives, God. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. Amen. So today's word is an interesting one because it's two words and you may know what one of them means and the other one you may not unless you studied Greek, in which case, good, then you know what both words mean. But the title of today's sermon is Parousia Ecclesia. Parousia Ecclesia. And you will learn and you will know what those are, but first I have to put a disclaimer out for this word. If you know me, you know that I speak truth. I am an honest speaking person. I will tell you the truth. Sometimes that truth stings. I don't apologize for truths that sting because it comes out of love. And love, when we speak truth in love, it's not meant to harm us or hurt us. It's meant to convict us and grow us, right? Okay, that same truth that you might hear today in today's message, remember, I got it first. So when I'm saying that, it means it stung me too. Does that make sense? All right, it's not intentionally going to hurt, but it might hurt you because it's convicting you in an area that you may not recognize you have been short in. Okay, that's the disclaimer. It's important that we understand this because what happens in the world and especially in Christendom is we hear messages and we hear God's word come out, but we don't do anything with it and we continue to repeat same mistake after same mistake after same mistake over and over again, right? And that's not learning. We have to learn from these things, right? So again, today, this message is called Parousia Ecclesia, and believe it or not, times like this right now that we're experiencing today, this is what we need in this church. In this church, it streams, and in the church worldwide. We need this. And you might be going, can you just tell me what it is? How many people want to know what it means? How many people know what one of the words mean? How many people know what both words mean? All right, one person, pastor. Fantastic. As all to know, I already expected that, but that's besides the point. All right, so let's get into this, and then we're gonna go into scripture. Now, mind you, you can turn to Hebrews 10, verse 32. Thank you. Because that's where we're gonna be reading from, but your version is not gonna be the same that I'm reading from today. I'm gonna be reading from the Amplified version, which will be behind me. But there's a reason why we're doing this. So, but before we get there, I need to explain to you what these two words mean. So let's start with the first one, parousia. Parousia means freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech. And if you want to know what that means in plain terms, it means being candid or blunt. Oh, wait a minute. So what you're telling me, Pastor, is that you want me to be candid and blunt in speech? Yes, I do. That is correct. That's what we need. What else do we mean? Okay, well, what's ecclesia mean? You might know the Ecclesiastes or things like that. You might have heard ecclesia in other forms, right? But what that means is a gathering of citizens or the called out ones from their homes to a public space or an assembly. So to put these together, what is it that parousia ecclesia means? It means for us to be called out there and to be loud and obnoxious about our God. To be called out of these four walls to go out there and be loud and obnoxious and blunt and candid about our God. Not about you. It has nothing to do with you. It doesn't work if it's about you. Okay? So let's start. We're gonna start again at verse 32 in Hebrews. Mind you, I don't have my Amplified Version Bible, so I have it here typed out for me. But remember the earlier days, and this is a verse 32, when after being spiritually enlightened, you patiently endured a great conflict of sufferings. I'm going to stop right there. This whole rigmarole of stuff that has been going on for the past few months could qualify as sufferings, would we think? Not just for us personally, but for us as a church. Because we've been restricted. We've been bound. We've been quieted. We've been silenced. We've been told to stay indoors. Don't go talk to people. Do you know how hard it is for Christians not to socially gather? That's what we were designed to do. It's literally what Jesus wants us to do, to come together. That's the whole point. Yet, here we are, not able to do so. See how well that's working. But, what else? Sometimes by being made a spectacle, publicly exposed to insults and distresses, and sometimes by becoming companions with those who were so treated. Has anybody experienced any of this? Have you received a tongue lashing of sorts? Have you received any kind of mockeries, being made poked fun of? Because after all, your Christian beliefs are so narrow-minded in times such as these. After all, what's Jesus doing? Where I had a conversation with somebody. Where's God at? Why doesn't God come and stop all this madness? Because God doesn't invoke your will. This isn't because of God. It's because of stupidity. It's because of lawlessness. It's because people want to do what they think is right in their own eyes. God isn't going to stop them from doing what they believe is right in their own eyes. God's not stopping them. But let's move on. Okay? Why is this important? For you showed deep sympathy, or you showed sympathy and deep concern for those who were imprisoned, and you joyfully accepted the unjust seizure of your belongings and the confiscation of your property. I haven't had that happen yet. Thank God. But are we prepared for that? Are you prepared for things that are belonging to you to be unjustly taken from you, like these people who live in these cities, who own these private businesses, who people just came in and rioted and looted their belongings that didn't belong to them and took them from them? Blatantly, businesses were completely robbed, top down. And it didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter what color skin they had. They didn't care. It has nothing to do with that. Had to do with somebody unjustly having all of their things stolen and taken from them. And it's wrong. Now, if that person was a believer in Christ, this would be a very hard message to swallow, wouldn't you think? It hit home. Because they just experienced this. But what's their response to be? Conscious of the fact that you have a better possession and a lasting one prepared for you in heaven. Where's our fixation? Where's our focus? What are we supposed to be focused on? Are we supposed to be focused on all the stuff that's happening to us? The attacks that are, yes, being directed at us. We could look at it. We could take it all personal. We can. But here's the problem. Once you start taking it personal, what's going to come out of you? Personal responses. It's going to be coming from your perspective. It's going to be your opinion of a situation. It's going to be about what feelings you had hurt. It's going to be about what things were taken from you, what personal worldly possessions you have that are now missing and unjustly been given to somebody else. But that's not what we're told we're supposed to have. We're told right here that we are supposed to be conscious of the fact, not a untruth, but a complete fact that we have better possessions and lasting ones that are being prepared for us in heaven, that are already there. I'm not even going to get into how we have the ability to call them down from heaven and receive them now if we wanted to. I don't want you getting too overwhelmed and excited. I want you to just stay here for a minute, okay? What does this mean? What does it mean for us? Do we have the ability to focus and have the fortitude to understand that although people are going to be unjust, unkind, and all kinds of other mean, negative words that you want to throw in your face, and if you have any conscious thought that is of faith and moving forward in faith, that you're going to be attacked relentlessly for doing so. Are you worried or concerned about the attack, or are you more concerned about doing the will of the Father? This is where we're going, okay? But we're not done with Hebrews yet, so let's keep going. Do not therefore, and this is the most important verse, so please, if you need to highlight it in your Bible, it'll be worded differently, but it's still the same context. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence. That's why I wanted the amplified version. Fearless confidence. Confidence is parousia. That is the Greek word used if you were to read this translation. That is the correct word. Confidence is parousia. Your fearless parousia. Your fearless freedom in speaking. Your unreservedness in speech. Fearless. For it has a glorious and great reward. What is your glorious and great reward? First of all, if you move out in this confidence and you speak out in this fearless confidence, what do you think your reward is? Do you think your reward is going to be somebody's going to go, oh, okay, great. Here, let me give you $100. Thank you for speaking in fearless confidence. No. Do you think you're going to get cheered and celebrated?
No, probably not.
What do you think the rewards are going to be? What rewards did Jesus get for speaking in truth? Your reward is not here. Your reward is not here. It's important that you understand that if you're doing this and you've signed up for Christianity 101 today and you were expecting that at the end of this class you're going to get a grade and that grade is going to mean you can go and earn a living with your newfound knowledge in Jesus Christ, you are going to be highly mistaken and disappointed. You may even want a refund. The good news is you paid nothing for this class, so you get nothing back. There's your reward. All right? But seriously, think about it. If you know already, your reward is not going to be something you get. And even if you look at the word reward and you look at reward and go, that's positive, that is a misnomer on you. Rewards are not negative or positive. They can be both. A reward is just what you receive for something that you have done. Let me tell you what your rewards will be. Your rewards will be much more, or if not worse, of what was previously already brought to you. You thought that the slander and the name calling and the berating and all of these horrible things that they want to say about you are bad now? Start becoming parousia ecclesia and watch what happens next. Your reward is going to be a worsening of said same things. They're going to come after you. They're going to attack you. They're going to attack your family. They're going to attack your children. They're going to attack everything. But why? Is it you they are attacking? No, it is not. Thank you, Miss Irene. It is not you they're attacking. What did Jesus say? Were we going to not experience these things? No. He said, on the contrary, we would experience even greater attack. We are not to be afraid of the attack. That should not be the problem. And that's why I love this version, because we need to be fearless in this. We have to cast down restraint and fear and put it to death, or we will not succeed. That's number one. But let's move on, because we still have more of Hebrews to get through. For you have need, and this is another important key, patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy the fullness of what is promised. Now this is important, because There's the bigger reward that Miss Irene was so key in noting, right? How many people are patient and willing to endure? I don't see many hands going up. Patience is not the best virtue found in the multitude of Christian believers. We've been fed a lie. Don't pray for patience. Why? Because things that you don't want to lose and be tested in are going to be tested immediately upon your prayer. You don't have to pray for patience. You don't have to. It's my job to pray it on you. It's my responsibility as the leader of this awesome bunch of ragtag Jesus believing freaks to go preach the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. It's my responsibility to make sure that you're covered. It's my responsibility to make sure that if those attacks do come, they come to me first. That's what it means. My job is to protect you, as Jesus protects all of us. But if I don't have a group of patient, enduring believers with me, I don't have an ecclesia. I just have me. We need to be gathered together in order to make the difference that we're supposed to be making. Are we starting to get the bigger picture now? What are you saying to a gathering of masses that are speaking out about whatever civil rights movement they want to speak out now? I mean, you could talk about the Black Lives movement that's going on right now. That's fine. But that's just what's going on now. A year, 2 years, 4 years down the road, there'll be another movement. I mean, before this, there was the LGBTQ movement that was taking over. Before that, there was other movements. Where's the Christian movement? Have you heard of one? Have you seen one lately? All I've seen is Christians isolating themselves. They go to Christian festivals where the only people who are there are Christians. Well, it's really great to iron sharpen iron and all. That's nice and that's pretty and fun and wonderful. And we get to sing, you know, lots of cool songs to Jesus and worship our Lord. And I have no problem with that. But we're missing the bigger picture. Do we not understand that we have a purpose and a goal? That we've been given new life to go give it to another, not to hold on to it and celebrate it. But you can, but if you're going to go celebrate it, go celebrate it out there. Stop celebrating it indoors, in quiet, and by yourself. And not only that, but again, with that patient endurance, and this is important, that we're supposed to bear it up under difficult circumstances, which guess what's not going to change? The circumstances. We can see clearly, we just talked about it a few minutes ago, the circumstances for what restrictions are going on in New Jersey aren't changing anytime soon. We have to deal with them. It doesn't matter. But that should not stop you from doing the will of God. Amen. And this is important that we not compromise. And I can't tell you how often, when it comes down to things like this, that Christians compromise. They make cuts. They cut corners. They peel things away. They change the way they do things because, after all, I don't want to offend. Parisia, you're gonna offend. Get used to it. Stop worrying about whom you might offend. And start opening your mouth and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because they're going to be offended. Jesus offended so many people. All he did was tell them the truth and the word of God. These are facts. So what are we supposed to do with what we have so far? Because I'm going to continue reading. And then we're going to tack on some extra knowledge from the word. Okay? For yet, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one, the one justified by faith, shall live by faith. Right? Respecting a man's relationship to God and trusting him. And if he draws back, shirking in fear, my soul has no delight in him. consequence. But our way is not that of those who shrink back to destruction, but we are of those who believe, relying on God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and by this confident faith, preserve the soul. Amen. We are to live by faith, but here's the key, not quietly on the sidelines. As a spectator, watching events transpire. If you're waiting for something to happen, you're going to be waiting a really long time because God's waiting for you. He's called you out. In the midst of chaos and lawlessness, we should speak out, but not of ourselves, but the word of God. You have every bit of a right to speak out against lawlessness. You have every right. You've been given the freedom and been released by the word of God to speak it. All you need to do is find out what God says and go, well, here's what God says about that. If they get mad at you, you can go, why are you mad, bro? Well, why'd you say that? I didn't say anything. You're just mad at God. That's God's word. That's not my word. Oh, you just dodged. Oh, look, you just dodged that one too. Oh, imagine that. Imagine the more you use God's word, the less of you they see and the more of Him they see. We need to stop exchanging blows or retaliating against attacks, but in the wonderful way that we love to do this, how many people love doing this? Just turn the other cheek. Take another shiner. They may be attacking you personally. They might even throw some really nasty stuff that's meant to hurt you personally. So what? I'm going to go there. So what? Did they not attack Christ? Did he not suffer worse? I told you, we're expected to take even more. That's our job. That's what we signed up for. I just don't think we really actually understood, and you've heard this message before, have you truly counted the cost? Or did you sign up for the cool Christian kids club and you thought you were getting like, you know, a cool wristband and a decoder ring at the end of the thing? Like, you know, did you think you were getting a cool gift basket? I mean, we give gifts to you guys because we love you. That's what the body does for the body. But the world hates you. Are you okay with that? Or are you still trying to be a friend to them? Think about it. Are you entitled to your opinion and having your point heard? I have a better question. Why do you want your voice to be heard and not his? Why do you want to have your voice heard? Nobody cares what you have to say. Unfortunately, I'll give you the exchange. Ready? Do you care what they have to say? No. So why do you think they care what you have to say? They're not listening. But he cares that you go and you share what he has to say. See, you don't answer to them, you answer to him. And as long as you understand that you answer to him and you consistently retort with every response back to them with more of what he has to say, guess what? Soon, they either do one of two things. They start to listen to him or they refuse to hear anymore and they walk away. Either way, the battle is won and Jesus is the victor. And if you were concerned and you maybe want to retort with how you believe that, you know, Jesus, he went into the temple and, you know, he beat them and threw them all out of the temple and all this stuff. And I love hearing people throw that at me. I'm like, okay, you need to read that a little bit more. There's a very justifiable reason as why he did what he did. Okay. But I want you to understand that when it comes down to everything that Christ did, he didn't involve himself in the petty debates. He didn't get mixed up with all their squabbling. He put it down. And every time he spoke, all he did is he relayed to them God's word and what God was saying. Nothing more, nothing less. He'd leave towns in more questions and confusion than he came when he showed up. Because now they have more questions than what they started with about what they believed. Because Jesus was radical. He changed their way of thinking. He changed what they thought. So we're talking about faith, and I would be remiss if I didn't go here and talk about faith with one more scripture, and it's an important one, in James. And I think you all know it, right? If you don't, I got it for you. James 2, verse 17, says this, "Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And if you have the Amplified version, right, it talks about, at the very end, and I like the word that's put at the end, inoperative. Inoperative. In order to do this, you're going to need strength. But I'm going to tell you that you think strength is, I need to get built up. Right? You treat strength like a workout regimen, right? You're going to go and you're going to hit the gym so you can get your strength on, right? And you're going to hit the gym, you're going to pump iron, you're going to get on the treadmill, you're going to do like 5 miles, you're going to burn off those calories, get rid of those donuts, all those good things. And then once you feel strengthened and fit, now you're ready to go and attack the world, right? How many times do we have to go around this mountain to understand that that's the way the world operates? The way God operates is going to every time contradict the way the world operates. Strength is not about how much time you invest in pumping iron at the gym. Strength is not based around how much time you spend at church. Strength is not based around how much time you sit and worship. That's not how you get strength. Strength is movement. Actually moving in faith. The more you move in faith, the stronger your faith gets. If you're preparing to go move in faith, that's not faith. So there's no strength. By doing so, you actually get weaker. Think about this. Again, what did I say? The way that God does things is completely contradictory to the way the world does things. You want to prepare for a boxing match? You got to build up your strength and cut your weight down. That's the way the world does it. Guess what? In God's kingdom, that's not how it works. You go in a scrawny 120 taking on a heavyweight with your thin matted down boxing gloves and you're absolutely no training whatsoever to last one round. You go in the ring, you blow on the guy, he hits the mat, you win the match. It doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to because it's not about you. It's about the power of God moving through you. We don't and should not operate in ways that lead us backwards. And if you're constantly doing things in the methods to which you believe you have to create your faith or you have to manifest your faith before you go and tackle something, you're going backwards. You're relying on your own strength. You're relying on what you can do. You're relying on what you're able to comprehend and understand. I love it when Christians tell me all the time, well, I haven't seen God do that. God hasn't done that. He didn't do that in scripture. You know, that's not something God does. Because he's doing something new. Hello? And you're the person he wants to use to do it with. Of course you're not going to find it in scripture because it's new. How do you line it up then? Oh, that's a really good question, Pastor. Thank you. I'm glad you asked that. You have to line up with his character, of course. You have to test the spirit, of course. You've been trained, right? You have to know his word. You have to know how he speaks and what he's saying. There's a responsibility that you have. You're not getting off that easy. But the reality of it is that if we don't do these things, right, and we continue to try to do it our own way, it keeps us comfortable. Right? And it'll allow you to excuse your sinful actions. You'll continue to go around doing the same things as usual, and you'll make excuses for all the things that you do wrong and blame it on whatever circumstance that has happened to you today. I love when people who have struggled with language and they have foul mouth, right? I'm not looking at anybody in particular. You can raise your hand. That's okay. But you might have it under control about 90% of the time. But when something happens is when you let it out. Listen to what I'm saying. You're letting the circumstances still control you and give you the reasons to move out in your old habits rather than move out in faith into what God's designing for you. It's hard. I never said it was easy, but it's required. But not this, but we are actually responsible to act on this faith, right? As James just said, faith without works is dead, right? So we have to do something. We can't just sit by. But if we don't, we become, and this is why I like this, you become inoperable or ineffective. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be an inoperable or ineffective Christian. And I don't think anybody here would want to subscribe to being that either. Are we in agreement here? Okay, good. I'm glad I have an awesome flock. What this means, though, and this is important because I think this is the dynamic. We read these things and we read the scripture and we want to apply it personally. But this particular scripture is not something that's applied to you just personally. It's applied to your work in the kingdom. It's beyond you. It is beyond you. It doesn't just start with you and end with you. It affects everyone around you. That's why ecclesia is not about just one person being called out. It's called out ones, plural, to an assembly, a gathering, a group, more than one. You need to do this together. You can't do it by yourself. And in order to do this, here's what we must have. We must first, and this is key, desire deeply to know God's will. How many people desire deeply to know God's will? Supremely, above all else. Good. Next, you have to desperately want to chase after hearing his voice as if you were chasing water in a desert. How desperate are you to hear what he has to say? How much do you need to hear his voice? Next, when you receive the instruction he gives, you need to put it up against his word and his character. That's your job. He is not going to just speak to you and go, I want you to go do this. He wants to test to see, are you faithful to line it up with him, his character, and his word? You have a responsibility to take everything that he gives you and line it up. That's how we know that the triune effect of God is at work in our lives, because we hear it from his voice, we line it up with his living word, and it confirms in our spirit that this is all in agreement. The three are one. You have to do that. That's your job. And then once you have done so and it lines up and it agrees with everything, what are you supposed to do? You need to move out in faith just like Abraham did with Isaac. It doesn't matter what makes sense to you. It doesn't matter that you are going to have to put your only child on the altar and sacrifice him. Did God say, then yes, you must do. Because it's not about what the action is. It's about God and our obedience over the sacrifice. We have to stop looking at the sacrifices and go, that's too much. I'm not willing to pay it. Look at that cross. I think that was too much to pay too. But he did. So that you didn't have to. I think it's a fair exchange. And I think we can agree that it's a fair exchange. We have a responsibility as believers in Christ to relay his message. That's what you signed up for when you said, I will be... Ugh! I don't know why it's doing it. It's fine. Don't worry about it. That's the way it's going to be now. Done. Done with this thing. I am going to keep going because God's got something to say. Technology is not my slave keeper. All right, we have a responsibility as believers in Christ to relay his message. And what is that message? Is it salvation and leading people to Christ? How many people would say yes? That's the message, right? That's what you would think is the message. I'm not saying it's not. But if that's only what you think is the message, you're missing the bigger picture. It's more than that. Okay, but it has very little to do with what we say and so much more with what you do. Okay, Christians in America today could very well be described as weak and ineffective. And I think if you really were to take a test and patrol the entire United States, you'd probably agree with that statement. Because they've accepted sheltered, indoors, stay in place, and do whatever the next people are telling you. Some churches are literally just cookie cutters and they just rinse and repeat messages year after year. There's some churches, all they do is they start at Genesis and go to Revelations. And once they get to the end, guess what they do? Start over again. Like the manna is going to taste any better the second time around. I'm not criticizing a church, but I'm explaining something about how I'm viewing Christians in America, because I'm only saying in America now, folks, because if you step out of this country and you look at Christianity in some, you know, tribe in Malaysia, or you go over to some churches in China and Korea and you see what they have to endure and how they worship and praise their God and the things that they do, you would feel ashamed. You would feel absolutely ashamed of how comfortable you have become in the United States with Christianity. And you think we're being attacked. We think we're being attacked. Oh my God. Do you feel attacked, Ms. Holly? Because the governor has told you you can't gather and assemble in your church? As you gather and assemble in your church? Right? Now, this is not meant to be disrespectful, okay? And I want to be clear. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to those churches. That's not what this means. But something to provoke you and snap you out of the comfort zone. That's right. It's gotta die. It's absolutely gotta die. It is imperative that we wake up today and become the Parousia Ecclesia. Or as I like to change it into common vernacular, so we're not learning Greek today, the candid called out ones. It is important that we speak and we step outside and we go to our stores, and it doesn't matter if you have to wear a mask or not, but that should not stop you from telling everybody who your God is, what he's doing in your life, and if they got a problem with it, tough, they can take it up with him too. Whip out your sword, show them where God says, and leave them with God bless. Jesus did not turn around and go into little towns and do nothing. Everywhere he went that God called him, he spoke, he did miracles, he changed lives, and then he went on his way. There are places that outrightly hated him and wanted to kill him. He dusted his sandals off and he went his way. And he even told the disciples to do the same. That's it. You go where you're told to go. You do what you're told to do. If they don't want you, you dust your sandals off. You move on. But to do nothing and expect, well, they don't want to hear what I have to say, because they don't want to hear what Jesus says about, is not good enough answer anymore. It's just not. You've been empowered, you've been called, you've been chosen for such a time as this to do great and wonderful things. And if we don't, we have very little to show for it at the end. I don't know about you, but I do not want to stand before the King and have him disappointed in me. I want him to be well pleased in his good and faithful servant. That's what I want. So your challenge. It's going to seem like a no-brainer. Maybe for you guys it might be hard. But if you know that this is where we're going, and this is the requirement that we're putting on everybody who's here with us today at Streams, You need to read your Bible more than you ever have. You need to be so engulfed in the Word of God that you know more than you have ever known. I'm not telling you need to memorize Bible verse. You don't have to be Dylan. Okay? As long as you have Dylan, as long as you have Dylan on speed dial, you can get Bible and verse, okay? But you do need to know what God's voice sounds like. And the only way you're going to know is by reading His Word. Because His voice sounds exactly like this. It's how He speaks. It's how He talks to you. It's important that we're in tune with the Spirit of God. It's important that we are aligned in right standing with Him so that when He says, move, you're not delayed. You're not missing the timing. Because let's be clear. We're getting to a point where if I'm going to turn around and say, okay, I'm going to be here on Wednesday night to pray, and people show up to pray, I don't want to have to tell every single one of you, oh, what do you need to pray for? What do I need to pray? I expect you to come already knowing, because you've been reading God's Word and listening and hearing His voice, that you come already ready to know to what to pray. Does this make sense? Because if we're going to be called out there, it's not 1,000 different voices saying 20 different things. It's 1,000 voices in unison saying the same thing. Because that's how God moves. God isn't confused. God is clear. He's concise. He says what he means what He says. So we have to be good students. We have to know His voice. We have to hear so that when the time comes to respond, you're not wasting time going, oh, what was that in? Was that in Acts or was that in Hosea? I don't remember. It's going to take me a while. I have to get back to you, God. He's moved over now. You missed your opportunity. I don't want us to miss opportunities. I don't want us to miss our chances. Because every time we miss our chance and our opportunities, we're missing for the manifold blessings of God to continue to pour out. We're missing the opportunity to be in unison with God's plan and to actually be able to faithfully serve our God and King, as we say here at Streams that we're committed to do. What does that make us? Say it. What does it make you? If you say here in these four walls that you're committed to doing the will of God and moving out, loving God, loving people, and loving life, but you don't take the time to hear His voice, and when the time comes and He speaks, you miss it, what does that really make you? It makes you a hypocrite or a liar. I'm sorry. Streams is not going to be a church of hypocrites and liars. It will not. Not from this shepherd. And not from that shepherd. These two shepherds are very serious about God's plan, God's purpose for this church. I don't want to beat you, but I will if I have to.
I'll beat
him. Do we get the big picture? Do we understand? All right, now I'm also going to let you know, because I don't want to just bring the word and leave it where it's at. I want us to become so kingdom focused with this word, something like this, that I'm actually going to take some time this week to design a t-shirt that says Parousia Ecclesia on it. If you want one, you just need to let me know and I'll get you one. All right. All right. So I'm going to design one. I don't know how much you're going to cost, but you'll have to pay for it. Okay. You'll just have to pay for your shirt. But if you want one after I design it and I show you what it looks like, if you want one, you can have one. Okay. That's absolutely right. Cause I want people to go wear these wherever they go. But know that you're wearing, if Holly's wearing one and Irene's wearing one and Nolan's wearing one, it doesn't matter if you're all the way up in, where the heck do you live? Yeah, Bridgeton. I couldn't think of it for the sake of things. And you're in Williamstown, and maybe Irene's going and visiting the girls in Philly. Okay? It doesn't matter. You're still united under one banner. And it doesn't matter where you go, if you carry that banner and you're speaking the same message, then you're fulfilling that call. Amen? Amen? So Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for what you're doing at Streams, God, that you're igniting a fire, God, and a flame in us, God, to just be bold confessors of our faith, God, to be blunt, to be honest, God, to not be fearful, God, but to be fearless confessors, God, to go out and tell the world how God got me a new car, how God is healing my wounds, how God is strengthening my body, how God is providing in my finances, how God is doing great things, because God will continue to do great things as we continue to move out in faith. He will continue to give us miracle upon miracle that testifies of his power and his might in our lives, God. So God, as you continue to lift us up, as you continue, God, to support us, to carry us, to instruct us and direct us, God, we will be faithful responders, God, to your word, to move out and believe that what you are telling us, you will accomplish, because your word does not return void. So Father, release your people to go and turn this world right side up as you had the disciples do it way back when, God. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.